we're going to be covering today is why we need to be a Spirit-empowered church, kind of wrapping up the series. I wanted Jeff Brazier to come on up. Let's give it a hand for Jeff Brazier. Jeff, we sent Jeff off to a conference, a missions conference, in Colorado Springs, and some cool stuff happened. We were having breakfast, and I thought, that really matches with the sermon. So I talked him into staying and talking. So tell us what happened.
So a couple weeks ago, went to the MLM conference out in Colorado Springs, which was just an awesome event, about 180 people from different vineyards around the world. They're sharing about their experiences with mission and just inviting the Holy Spirit into our time. So really incredible event, and would love to sidebar with any of you guys if you'd want to hear more about the event at a later time. But wanted to give a story of experience I had at the event. So they had an orientation breakfast on the first day, and this was my first time, so I attended it. And they said, hey, there's about 30 prayer sessions, half-hour prayer sessions that you can sign up for. You guys get first crack at it because you're all newcomers. And I just felt this nudge that nothing's really going on in life, but I needed to sign up for that. So that was on a Tuesday. Signed up for a Thursday morning session. So it gave me 48 hours to back out of that. So I dutifully used that time to come up with every reason not to get prayer. And primarily is, you know, there's 180 people there. I didn't have much going on. I didn't need to take one of 30 spots. And kept thinking that four or five times I was walking in the direction. They kept some whiteout by that board so you could write your name out, and hadn't used whiteout in a while, so I was getting excited about that. And ultimately, though, God kept pulling me back in, just kind of saying, hey, don't do this. I mean, you're supposed to go here and experience this. So inevitably, I ended up attending, and of course, you know, gave them the cursory, hey, I'm not good at receiving prayer, to this poor couple from Colorado Springs that was going to give me prayer. I'm sure that's what they want to hear when you first walk in. In the first 10 minutes, you know, very kind of high level, who I am, you know, yes, no answers, and, wasn't letting much come in. And then the wife asked me, well, I feel I'm called to ask you about your dad. And, I had a great dad, but my dad died when I was 21. And it's something that obviously shaped my life. And, through that session, I realized I've really hardened my heart to the world to not let pain in. But it's also kept joy out as well. So I've experienced joy, you know, through small times where I've either let God in or let other people in, or, you know, fleeting joy through accomplishments and whatnot. So I've kind of muscled my way through life and thought that's just how you did it, you know, very transactionally and whatnot. And this experience, I started weeping, just crying uncontrollably for about 30 minutes. So not only could I feel guilty about taking my spot, I took the next spot. So you know, about an hour and 15 minutes later, you know, I was done, and it seemed like it went by like a blink of the eye. And it was so awesome. I mean, the feeling was unbelievable, very warm, strong, happy, even though I just sat there and cried like a baby. So I left that, and all of a sudden, you know, the sky's a little bit bluer, the sun's warmer, and everything just feels different. And that evening, I had to leave for a business trip, and I was headed to the Denver airport and travel a lot. So typically, I just plug in and kind of tune out, go through the motions, get through security, get a coffee, get to my gate. I felt called, God saying, hey, don't put your earphones in. And I didn't know why, but I thought, okay, I better listen. I'm right on the heels of this, so I can't screw this up right away. So I didn't put my headphones in, and you know, some things just happened. I experienced people, and I came across a young family, three little kids, and they got about 95 bags. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I need to go help them just navigate through the airport. And I probably would have done that with the headphones in or out, I hope, but I did it. And then I could talk to them. And a little relationship was felt there. But I left that experience just feeling God and feeling joy. And then I got to my hotel in Chicago. Same thing, I was just talking to a lady that worked there. She told me her husband was just had surgery and they were having a rough time, and we got to just experience each other. So I started just having these experiences, and I hope these continue, and I pray that I keep myself open to them. So, yeah, it was. I'm glad I said yes to that session.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That's Isaiah talking about right now and the covenant that we're under right now. He was seeing something. And as I look at that, I think to myself, man, I love God. I want what he's prepared for me, right? That's what I think. How do I get my eyes open? How do I see? How do I imagine? How do I experience the things that God has prepared for me? And I'm just saying this with all truth from my heart. Everyone here, God has prepared things for you that are better than you can imagine, right? We're going to be talking about that. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking back to when I first decided to fully follow Jesus. Well, you know, when I was younger, real small, I experienced Jesus in a way I knew him. I loved him even, but I never really knew how to follow him. And eventually the world kind of took over and I was in a really bad spot. No one would have dreamed I was a Christian, but I knew I wanted to get back to Jesus. And I could even probably at that time, if someone asked me, do you believe in Jesus? I would have said, yes. Do you believe he wants you to follow him with your whole heart? And I said, yes. Why aren't you doing it? I don't know. I just can't do it. I'm stuck. You know, I remember coming home from high school, and I can even visualize the ugly couch it was. I was laying on, and I remember just thinking, I am so tied up in knots inside. I feel such pressure. I remember saying, I couldn't quite breathe. I remember just thinking of that. And then I think, if I think about it, it gets worse. And so I just fall asleep. And everybody just thought I was a lazy teenager, but I was actually a lazy teenager that was stressed out too. And I was just in a battle inside. I actually knew, strangely enough, I knew that God wanted all of my life. I don't know why I knew that. I just knew I couldn't halfway jump in, and that I don't think I can do that yet. You guys ever felt that? I just want to say that I want to pause right here. When I was preparing this, I felt like God wanted me to say, especially with second service, there's some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you can actually feel it right now. You can feel that you know God enough, or you sense him, and he's calling you, and you can feel the battle going on inside. And you just need to know, that's God, it's not your imagination, and you can say yes to him today. All right? That's an extra free sermon right there for you. Boom. All right. But as I thought about that, you know, I thought about, you know, how that was, and I started looking and thinking about this whole process of being in this spot. And then I remember my brother, which you've heard many times, but my brother who just encountered Jesus, decided to daringly start talking to me one night. And he began talking to me, and when he started talking to me, I actually could feel the presence of God so tangibly. I didn't know what it was, and then I went into my room, I'm looking at the ceiling, I'm shaking, and I say, God, I can't run my life anymore, I need you, help me, right? And I remember that so vividly, it was so simple, and I remember after I said it, I thought, wonder where this is going to take me. And I went to sleep. And fast forward about 14 hours later, because it was very late, I was at a church service, and I was actually sitting on the front row and they were playing music. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, I want to be here. I've never wanted to be on the front row of a church in my life. And I don't want to believe. I want to be here. And when I said that, I could feel the presence and the peace come over me. And I thought, I had no idea this was possible. I could feel it so strongly. And I realized God had it prepared for me, and I couldn't have imagined. If I would have thought back a day before and said, this is what will happen, I'd say, I can't imagine it, right? And I remember it was like this simple, crazy little prayer. I just made a choice and this stuff started happening. You know, I've been doing this for, you know, about 45 years now, and I look back on everything and think, I would have never guessed that. Would have never guessed that. The path that God's done, the things that God has done, I never knew He had that for me. But I'm so glad, and I feel like I'm just getting started, right? You know, I know it's fun seeing Jeff up here. I remember when Jeff and Shay first came here. I remember the first Sunday they came here, they were sitting right here, which was the back row, the very back row, by the way. And Shay and them ditched the service so quick when they I could not get to back quick enough to talk to them, and they would shoot out. And I always thought about, what if I would be able to go up to them and catch them in the parking lot and say, I want to tell you about your future. There'll be a day you'll be married to this woman. Your family will look like this. You'll be over in on a mission trip because you've already started school in Nicaragua, and you're going to be prayed for, and God's going to come on you, and you're going to feel this, that, you know. And then God's going to talk to you about the airport, and then you're going to get up front and talk to everybody about it. I guarantee you, Jeff would say, David, thank you very much. I won't come back anymore, because he wouldn't imagine that, right? And so the thing about it was, is in both these instances, it's just, it really is what we're talking about, is what this place of being a Holy Spirit-empowered church is, this place of listening to the Holy Spirit, right? And saying, yes, God, I want to do that, and responding to that. You know, if you think about Jeff's story, it was just basically him taking some steps of what he sensed and falling through with it. Things that didn't feel natural to him, but end up being extremely good. For me, it's like all of a sudden my brother has this, I'm under this place of God pressing into me. I can feel it. And now my brother gets this idea he's going to talk to me. When he talks to me, I start feeling God's presence. And then I get to a place I'm able to trust my life to Jesus. And it changed everything. But it was so choosing to say yes to something that was not normal, right? And, you know, as we look at this, as we think about this place of our church, is that, you know, God has so much prepared for us as a church. And more than we can get a hold of with our mind. And He wants us to find it. He wants us to experience. God has so much prepared for you individually in your life, right? Things you can't even imagine right now. He's prepared it for you. And the way we find it is responding to the Holy Spirit and saying yes, right? And so as a church, that is always my prayer in this place of how do we, what do we want in this church? Where, how do we grow to where God wants us to be? How do we become a church? It's going to be this. It's going to be you both, everybody getting to a place of yielding themselves to God and saying, God, I will do what you say. And on the smallest or the biggest, they keep saying yes more often. Everything will change. Now, the thing about this is, you know what, for some of you who know Jesus, like, you think about that time when you first said yes to Jesus, what that felt like. It's like, whoo, you didn't know really what to do, maybe, and it felt so odd and strange, but you felt like you wanted to, but you're nervous, and it wasn't natural, but you humbled yourself and you said, okay, I'll trust myself to you. That's how you started, right? And that's exactly how you keep going. You, just as you receive Christ, you walk in Him the same way. This is how you follow Jesus, right? Now, you know, this question of the Spirit-empowered church is kind of a strange question in some ways, because, quite honestly, without the Spirit, nothing happens. So I can just, you know, spoiler alert, we need it because nothing else happens if you don't have a Spirit-empowered church. But we're going to talk about why that's so important. Help us understand how important it is to keep a place where we're opening and listening to the Spirit and obeying what God is saying to us. Because, you know, let's just think of, I would not be following Jesus if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, right? You would not be. Jeff would not have a story. You would not have a story. We wouldn't be here as a church. I mean, that's the Holy Spirit is the one who builds the church. You know, and if you look at, hopefully that answer, that question has been answered throughout this series, is if you look at all the things, the titles of our teachings over these last time, is try to take the Holy Spirit out of any of these times that we talked about. Try to actually, the whole way the church was birthed was because they said, go pray, and then what happens? The Holy Spirit comes. Now, all of a sudden, what's next? Peter, all of a sudden, feels emboldened by the Holy Spirit and confident, stands up and begins speaking. And as he speaks, the Holy Spirit comes down, goes to people's hearts, and they say, I understand who Jesus is. What do I do? And all of a sudden, people are coming to know Jesus. We see this witness of the church, where the church is loving each other with generosity, and all these things are happening. People are speaking, and as they're doing that, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit is bringing people and adding people and moving in people's lives. You know, you think about all the things of the church. If we want to have ability to say, God is powerful enough to meet you in this brokenness you're in this area of addiction, in this area of suffering, if we want it to bring in healing and deliverance and all the things that we need to be doing, try to do that without the Holy Spirit. You know, there's nothing. Think about the persecuted church. I mean, think about when we talk about that. We're not persecuted, but right now, I mean, if you understand the reason that the church could go through such persecution and violence and still have it become redemptive in a place of God coming, we see that in Stephen. Like, how do you go through that without the Holy Spirit? Or he had a perspective of who God was. He felt God's presence and power. You know, they believe by 325 A.D. there is about 7 million Christians. And the statistics show that 2 million were killed for their faith. A little closer to home, BBC reported that between 2000 and 2010, and this is pulling off some of the wars inside stuff, the persecuted people who are saying yes to Jesus and losing their life for not bending and bowing down to something else, people who are martyred, they guessed at 21 to 27 per day between that time. So how do you get through that? You only get through it by having God's Spirit within you and God using even the ugliest violence for something that he does this good. How about diversity? We will be homogenous if we follow our natural tendencies. But when we understand, you see just what happened in Acts, all of a sudden now they're seeing people the way God sees them. All of a sudden these Samaritans that didn't want to be around, now they're going and hanging out with them and having their home. These people who spoke different languages. And then all of a sudden these Gentiles, they start loving and bringing in. Because why? Because the Holy Spirit showed them what he saw and who they were. And then the whole thing of a mission of the church, you know, we're supposed to make disciples of all nations, you know. It's an impossible task. The whole thing of praying. We don't even know how to pray without the Holy Spirit helping us along and leading us in our prayers. And I love what Bill talked about last week about kind of the future of the church. Because the future of church is really this place of saying that the church, once is going, is continued to advance. But the way it advances is the way it started. It's places of people come before God. And as the Holy Spirit tells them to take steps, they say yes. And they take steps in places that aren't just comfortable. They don't just manage and hold on to what they have. They're always saying, God, what do you have for me? And taking steps. And so that is really where we're at as a church. We're at a spot in saying that, you know, people say, what's your vision for my church? The vision for this church is, I think all our vision is this place that we all are people who come to know Jesus in this deep way. And we are filled with Holy Spirit and we start listening. And not just thinking of the theology of the Holy Spirit, but begin responding and being obedient. We were at this conference and the guy said, you know that Gary Chapman love language guy? What's the, you know, those things that I should know what that means? Everybody knows that, right? Gifts of service or whatever they are, you know. So yeah, you can tell how much a good husband I am. So, he says, you know, God has a love language. Really? Obedience. Trust. If you want to love God, trust what he says and do what he says. That's the most beautiful thing you can do. Now, The Holy Spirit is something we are emphasizing a lot during this series, because what we're talking about is that as we say, yes, Holy Spirit, two things will happen. You will literally be transformed from the inside out. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is, right? It's transformation. So as you say, yes, Holy Spirit, you'll feel transformation. You will also, when you say, yes, Holy Spirit, you will find yourself on God's mission, accomplishing what we're, our purpose on earth at the same time. And so, but as we think about that, this place of the Holy Spirit is, it's really this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're talking a lot about the Holy Spirit. What about the Father and how about the Son? You know, we believe in the triune God. And so the Nicene Creed says we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who is with the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. Within the unity of one Godhead, there are three separate persons who are co-equal in power, nature, and eternity. Wrap your mind around that one, right? I remember when I was at first a Christian and someone started talking about the Trinity, like, it's just like, my brain's going to explode here. You know, they kept saying, no, we worship one God, but it's expressed in three distinct persons. And I thought, they had like eggs with the shell and the white and the yolk, and they had the water and the steam and the ice, and it's all one thing. I said, that doesn't help me a bit, right? I don't relate to water and eggs. So, but what I found is the Trinity is very clear in Scripture in the way we look at Scripture. You can see it all through. It's hard to grab a hold of in your mind. It's something that's mysterious even to this day, that God is the God of communion. And in mutual submission, these people, these parts are all equal, but they play particular roles, all right? And as you look at this, for me, here's what I found. The best way of understanding the Trinity is just start relating to God a lot. The more you come to know Jesus, it all starts making the depths of God show up. And as a church, we have to make sure that we never, ever pull off one of these and say, we don't need the Father. We don't need the Son. We need the Holy Spirit. I'll just go with the Son. I won't go with the Holy Spirit. I'll just go with the Father. I won't go with Jesus. You pull any of those out of there, it's disastrous. Because it's not who God is. And it's hard to understand, but it's not who God is. You know, I had a friend of mine, he said this thing that is a strange thing. He's a good friend. He's another pastor. And we're doing some theological ribbing each other, kind of back and forth on something, you know, we're back and forth. And he looked at me and I asked him once one thing. He goes, no. You're one of those Holy Spirit churches. And he's just joking around. But man, when he said that, I know he didn't really mean probably theologically what he said, but it just broke my heart that he could even say that. And because he believes in the Trinity, he's a triune, God. But, you know, I can't imagine him saying, our church is all about God the Father. Our church is all about, we emphasize the beauty and the attributes of God the Father. We're a Jesus church that talks about Jesus and the attributes of Jesus. Thumbs up. But you have to understand, the Trinity is part of God. The Holy Spirit is a huge part of who God is. And if we put them in a position that's less than, it's not good. We need to celebrate. We need to emphasize. We need to elevate the beauty of the Holy Spirit and welcome Him, just like we do God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, that's why when we sing songs, we worship, we say, you know, you're a good. Yes, you are. And so, you know, we're a good Father, you know, that, you know, Jesus, name above all names, right? You know, that Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We love the Father. We love the Son. We adore the Holy Spirit. We love all of God. And so, you know, as we do that, in Luke, I think it really helps us to grasp this place of why the Holy Spirit's so important. and why we don't want to start blurring them into just, well, let's just call it God and not be so confusing. Why is there the place that it emphasizes how this all works? Because Jesus was an example of that. One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And the voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son and you bring me great joy." Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Now, let's just look at this. Find God in this. Everywhere. Jesus, who knew he was equal with God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But he also knew he was the Son. And as the Son, he came and he's modeling to us. You understand, when Jesus, as we watch him, he's showing us how to do this thing on earth. So he gets baptized because that's a big thing. So he gets baptized. And he's praying to who? His Father. And as he's praying to his Father, the heavens open up. And the Holy Spirit comes. And so he's now experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then a voice from heaven, the Father, said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." And then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit into something he would not have naturally wanted to do. But he submitted himself fully and obeyed what the Spirit told him to do. Now, that's hard to get your mind wrapped around. But what you have to understand in that is it's a model for us, right? What God wants to do with all of us is settle this thing of identity. As we come to Jesus, we're made righteous. We're made his children, right? His beloved children. And because of Christ, not because of anything we've done, we please him. We need to get settled in that identity because of what Jesus has done. And then we need to do just what Jesus did. Receive that identity, receive that affirmation. And we need to have the Holy Spirit fill us. And then we need to listen to what the Holy Spirit says and do it. Even if it means not eating for 40 days. Right? Even if it means going to a place you would not have gone. Right? And so, understanding for us is this is the very thing that Isaiah was talking about in this place of what is prepared for us and how do we find that. This is the covenant that Isaiah was referring to. Now, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. Now, get this. Paul's now been following and listening to the Holy Spirit for now about 20 years, and he's planted this Corinthian church, which has a lot of Gentiles, and it's in a pretty tough area for following Jesus. And this church is only probably 4 to 6 years old, and they're not doing well. They have immorality. They're fighting. I've never known churches to do this. And they're just not looking good at all, right? And, bad stuff. And it's really interesting because Paul's writing to them and he's trying to help them, right? And he loves them deeply. And really what he says, it would be really easy for Paul to say, "You idiots, you have just come at him, man," you know. But he goes, and he does give some correction, that sort of thing. But what he basically says is, "You guys need to start listening to the Holy Spirit." Because you haven't, you're in this place that you're at. So he says this is, so he goes back to the place where he was at the church before. He's reminding them about the simplicity of listening and the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, "For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever or persuasive speech, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. And yet he talks about when he talks to the more mature believers, he says, yet when I was among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or the rules of this world who will soon or are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak is is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began, the thing he was preparing for us. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scripture means when it says, no eye has seen, he quotes from Isaiah, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Now listen to this. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. We're the people who Isaiah was talking about. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except for the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except for God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. Is that cool? You want to know how you find the things that were prepared for you? It's by that. It's by the power of the Spirit. It's by being filled with the Spirit and listening to what the Spirit says and doing it, even if it's against what you naturally would do. Knowing he is wisdom. See, that's what the Corinthians didn't have. They were a place in which that they were not. They were living in their own strength, their own wisdom. You guys know how that works, right? When you live your life in your own wisdom, it seems like a really smart idea when you start. Right? It is something that, this is something that, I just want to say this, just as a simple statement, is one thing that you need to know if you're sensing God calling you, or if you're you're a Christian and you're not doing well, one of the first things you need to understand is God wants all of you. I've tried to live in that middle spot. I'm telling you, I wish I could just give you another route. He wants all of you, right? Because we are not made to control our own life, and we're not made to lead ourselves. We are made to be led by God. And we find out who we truly are, and we're released into freedom, and we experience the things God prepared for us when we yield our entire self to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, you know, I used to think the people who resisted the Holy Spirit were these people. Those people who don't believe in the gifts. Those people who get nervous when you raise your hands, you know, people who don't pray for each other, people who don't talk about the Holy Spirit, you know, those people who are just all caught up, you know, you know, us charismatic, us vineyard people, we know the Holy Spirit. We don't resist the Holy Spirit, do we? Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, this is Corinthians. They're all about the Holy Spirit. They're all about the gifts. They're totally missing the Holy Spirit. They're living according to their own wisdom. And we have to understand that if you're charismatic or you have a theology of the kingdom and the Holy Spirit like we have in our church, understand that doesn't mean you follow the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean you yield your whole life to the Holy Spirit. And we have to understand that those verses that we see, you notice there's a verses about not quenching the Holy Spirit and not grieving the Holy Spirit. You know, there are people like, you know, we look at this place of like in Acts where they're coming against the Pharisees, and these guys are really quenching the Holy Spirit. They are stiff-necked people who are literally saying, I want this to stop at the point, I'll kill you if you don't stop this, right? And they're hardening their heart and plotting to harm Christians and persecute them and stop them, right? Now, I'm hoping you guys aren't in that spot, right? You maybe you are. If you are, we have prayer ministry up here to our right. Kitty will take care of you. She'll pray for you. I don't want to be near that one. But the reality of it is, we understand. We say, oh, yeah, that's extreme. But the reality, there's a lot of the instructions about this to the church. You know, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit to whom you were sealed from the day of redemption. And the church kept going away from listening to the Holy Spirit and doing what the Holy Spirit said. And what you can find is that you will have a tendency, every human, every church will have a tendency of going back to the place of, I want to live by rules so I don't have to have this relational intimacy and vulnerability with good Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. You know? Or I want to be in control and make it run my life. We always have a tendency going back to that. In Galatians, I think it puts it pretty clearly. How foolish can you be after starting your new lives in the Spirit? Why are you trying to become perfect by your own human effort? So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing your sinful. Then you won't do what your sinful nature craves. And this is a big issue, right? I know none of you have any sin in your life, so you can apply this to someone else. But if you happen to have sin in your life and you say, I need to stop this. I am going to stop this. It doesn't work, does it? You can manage it, but at the root, you can't make it stop. Right? The way that you quit going towards that stuff that keeps hooking you is not by stopping. It's by starting to listen and obey whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. That is what takes you to the fruit of the Spirit and away from the deeds of the flesh. Now, you know, and this, we just have to understand is, and this is really helpful, is God has this amazing stuff for you prepared for you. He loves you deeply. He knows what you need. He's a perfect Father who understands you. And He wants you to experience this great stuff. And He's wanting you to love Him by trusting Him. By saying yes to what He asks you to do. But when you start trying to follow the Spirit, I'm saying this can be in a big area. There's some of you maybe right now that you're thinking about recommitting your life to Jesus or opening your life to Jesus for the first time, or this area that's kind of you're hitting, you're thinking about opening that. Those are all areas that you when you start saying, God, what are you, Spirit? I open myself to you. You'll feel this resistance of your pride, and you'll feel it come up against your old nature, right? But I'm telling you, it happens. And when it goes on in Galatians, it says, oh, by the way, this is something you'll always have a battle in. So just understand this is part of the battle. I mean, last night we had a worship night, right? I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be up worshiping Jesus, really with a soft heart. I was so grumpy and tired. I didn't want to be here. I didn't tell Debbie that. I tried to act spiritual with her, too. I sat there. I was not in a good place. And it kept getting worse. You read that? I'm going to bring down this room with my vibe here. This is not good. So I was just wrestling and fighting, and my pride was critical. And finally, after three songs, I thought I had a plan of how I could leave graciously. And I thought it out, and I thought, you know, I should pray and make sure that this isn't a bad idea. And I prayed, and God said, stay. Nothing in my flesh wanted to stay. But I stayed. And it was good. God did good things that I would have missed. Right? We have to realize this is normal. And we have to be people who love to say yes to the Holy Spirit. So, what I want to do is, I want to actually a couple of things that could help us in this place of a Spirit-empowered Christian, just in a practical sense. We'll run through this pretty quick, is that a Spirit-empowered Christian, things that happen within that is they yield their life to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they seek the Spirit's filling presence. power, gifts, and fruit of the Spirit. That's what you mean by being all in. It's the whole package, right? So if you're not there, God's gracious. But understand, God's going to be pressing into that. Do you trust me with your whole life? You know, I don't know how that process still happens, but there's a point you say, that's where I'm going. I commit to that. Do what you need to do in me to get me to a place of fully trusting you. And then I'd say, after that, I think there's just things that help us in this place of being a Spirit-empowered church and listening so we can hear the Holy Spirit. And one is worship with a grateful and open heart. That's kind of what happened last night. After you saying so many times that God is good, you actually start believing it over time. You know, it's but what it did, it humbled me. I mean, worship is, I don't know about you, but man, I can see my heart so quick when I start trying to worship. I'm thinking, I don't feel very good here. Praise Jesus. You know, I don't know. My heart shows up in worship so quick, right? But if I can open my heart up honestly where I'm at and letting God come even in the places I'm not in a good spot, there's something that softens my heart. Because it's really a picture of what we need to be doing all the time. I love you and I give my whole self to you, right? That's what we do in worship. And we need to keep doing that. Privately, together. And when you understand who God is, you just become more and more grateful as you worship. The other thing is, a Spirit-empowered Christian sees the Bible as personal. Not a bunch of rules, but personal. And the place that the Holy Spirit instructs them, and that they come to know God. I mean, some of you may have been raised in a spot that the Bible is rules. Read some more rules and do some more things. And you think, it's true that there's truth. But truth is to set us free. Truth, the person who communicates the Scripture is the Holy Spirit. And that's a whole different way of approaching Scripture. You want to go to the Scripture. So if you see a charismatic person who says, oh, I love the Holy Spirit, not much on the Scripture, I think, yeah, doesn't work. The Holy Spirit always takes, you look in Acts, constantly looking at Scripture. Scripture didn't die off because the Holy Spirit started becoming prominent and leading. The Scripture came alive to them. They saw the Scripture in a way they never saw it before. It brought life to them, right? And they had very little to look at, right, compared to us. And so it's an amazing thing. The other thing I'd say about this is that and within a Spirit-empowered Christian sees the whole body as part of them and are growing more and more deeply connected to everyone. You know, that is a sign of a Spirit-filled Christian. Look at Acts. Every time God's power came, they became more connected. They needed each other more. They became more dependent on God. They became more interdependent on one another. It always took them to one another. If you see, like, oh, yeah, I'm all about the Spirit, but I don't really like being one of those Christians, you know, that's not okay, right? It always takes you to the body, loving the body, seeing the body as God sees the body. And the Spirit-empowered Christian loves praying, just spending time alone with God. This is a big one, guys. I wish I would have understood this more. It's for your heart to be open to the Holy Spirit. You have to have time for Him to be talking to you, to tell you about things that only He knows through being the Spirit of God. Communicating to you, you have to have space. You have to have space to you pray. And I'm going to focus on this last one, and we'll close up here. A Spirit-empowered Christian partners with God and listens and obeys the Holy Spirit in all circumstances, both in large and small choices. You know, I love the story that Jeff told because it was like his choices to say, okay, I'm going to go to this prayer thing. That was a choice of yes, which took him to a place that God's power came and met him in the deepest way. And he was open to that and he received it. That was a yes. He could have said, I'm not going to cry. No, he opened himself up and he said yes. And then he's in the airport and he takes his headsets out because God tells him to. Which was the most important yes? We don't know, right? But what's important is you always say yes on the small things and the big things. If you want us to say, where are we as a church? How do we become the place? How do we find the things that God has prepared for it? The way we do it is by knowing identity in Christ through Jesus and being in that place of knowing who we are in Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit and listening to what the Holy Spirit says and doing it. From the smallest thing to the biggest thing. And if we do that, everything will change. All right. So what we're going to do, before the worship team comes up, we're actually going to do the challenge right now. All right? So what I'm going to do is we're going to get just a short amount of time for you to ask God what he's asking of you, what he's inviting you into, what he's showing you that he wants you to step out on. So it could be something as easy as, you know, I sense that I should go talk to my neighbor about this, or I feel like there's a person here that I need to go over and pray for before I leave. It could be I am opening my life up to Jesus for the first time. It could be I feel like God's calling me to some particular area, or I feel like God's showing me something about my family, or it can be something that you've been that's been kind of covered over, and you know you have to say, I'm going to choose to bring this out into light. And it could be a spot where God's trying to bring affirmation to you. It could be lots of things, right? But the Holy Spirit will begin kind of just, and you ask him, saying, God, I want to see what you're doing in my life, and what can I respond to receive from you to say yes to you, all right? So we're just going to give just a little bit of time, and then you can be resistant if you want to, but I wouldn't. Or you can be open. And so just open yourself to the Holy Spirit and let's pray that. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you right now. Every person here, you love each person here. You have lots of good stuff for them in the future. But we're children. We just need the next step. We need to know the things that you're asking us to do right now. You don't overwhelm us. You just make clear the thing that you're asking for us right now. What thing, God, that you want us to know? What area are you highlighting right now? What I'm going to do in a second here is I'm going to ask you that feel like God is highlighting something that he's asking you, big or small, he's highlighting it. I'm going to ask you in a second here to stand. Now, I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing over you as a group, but we're not going to have individual prayer. You're not going to call out what's going on yet at that time or anything. This is just a matter of you kind of publicly, kind of before God saying, I say yes to you. I receive that from you. I say, God, I say yes to that thing that you're inviting me into. Right? Holy Spirit, just come. Okay? And it's a bit brave, but if you know God's highlighting something, I would like you to stand, and I want to just pray a prayer of blessing over you. Would you stand? Thank you. A couple more. So I just say, God, thank you so much for what you're doing in these people right now. Whether it be a small thing or a big thing, we say, God, you love it when we say yes to you. I pray right now they'll know how you feel about them saying yes to that area that you highlighted and they said yes to. I pray blessings on them. I pray that you'll continue. They will, just as they started needing you, I pray that as they kind of play this thing out, that you'll just stay with them and they'll feel your presence in a really strong way. Thank you so much for what you're doing in their lives. We just pray blessings on each person here. Keep giving him the power of your spirit to continue to say yes to you. We love you, God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. You can sit down. Worship team, why don't you come up? Let's worship for a while. And then I would encourage you, maybe if you could get some prayer at the prayer ministry time after we're going to sing a few songs. And then we're going to have some prayer time. And I encourage you, even if you didn't stand and you sense God kind of pressing into area, grab a person you know if you need to, or come up for prayer ministry. But use the time. It's really important sometimes to speak out the things that God has put in your heart. All right?